Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we've contemplated the four last things, we consider the reality of hell. And one might think it inappropriate to discuss hell, but that is only because there are so many who have reason to believe hell does not exist. It's like St. Augustine teaches, those who claim there is no God have a reason for claiming there is no God. Those who claim there is no hell have a reason for claiming there is no hell, and it's usually because they're going. They're on the way. They're living a life of obstinate sin. No soul falls into hell by accident, but by intention. And a soul goes to hell because it is unrepentant of mortal sin. And that is the great danger of sin. And so, hell is a place created by God for the fallen angels. When the angels were given their choice, as they had free will as man does, they chose disobedience like Adam and Eve. And as a result, hell was created for them because they rejected love himself. You reject love himself, there is no other place in which you can exist except a place of great deprivation, great contempt and hatred. A place that is fire by virtue of the reality of the love of God. On fire because of the love of God, which has been so willfully rejected. You see, most people who don't believe in hell today have that false notion of love that I repeat to you time and time again. Most people believe love is a thing of entitlement. You have possession of someone because you love them, whether they be family or friend or romantic love. And therefore, love becomes confining. It becomes a trap. And so if you believe that, then you believe that a God of love would never send a soul to hell because you would think that he is as needy as we are. But God is not needy. God is love itself. God is love. Deus caritas est. And as a result, all love stems from him. Therefore, he cannot know loneliness or insufficiency in his perfection, in his immutability. He cannot be disaffected by emotion because he has none, because emotions change. And therefore, God would change if he had them. No, he is pure love. And as a result of that pure love, free will is given to those he loves, those that were created in his image and likeness, mankind, and those that were created with intellect and reason and will, the angels. And so therefore, if you as a soul do not want to live with God in this life, if you spend your whole life away from God, he is so loving that he will not force you to spend eternity with him. Because you have willfully made the decision you want nothing to do with him in this life. And therefore, he's not going to save you at the end and say, it's okay, I'm taking you to heaven, because he loves you. And so if you reject him, then he ratifies that rejection. He lets you freely choose hell. And no soul goes to hell by accident. Every soul has freely chosen to go to hell. And again, when you reject love himself, where else can you go except a place of hatred and contempt and punishment? You see, hell is created by God for justice. He gave the angels the opportunity, and the fallen angels rejected. Therefore, he sent them to hell because they rejected him. Remember, he's the source of all being. He is being itself. There's no place you can exist without him. So to reject him, there must be a place where there is punishment for that rejection because he is the creator. And he is what we are designed for, what angels were designed for, to long for his goodness, his truth, and his beauty. And so therefore, God created hell for the fallen angels, but man chose to succumb to the fallen angel. And therefore, Adam and Eve, whose state of original holiness had them in such a way that their reason governed their passions. And after the fall, one of the consequences of the fall from grace is no longer are our passions subject to our reason. And therefore, our passions can often be out of control. And the more we live a life where our passions are out of control, the more our reason submits to passion. And we become pure sentimental creatures that are only pursuing that which is pleasing to us. God is perfection. God is goodness. God is what every soul longs for. And through the great gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who used the very weapon of the devil himself which was death, to defeat the devil himself by dying in his humanity on the cross. And so the soul, when it is departed from the body, which is the definition of death, the soul leaving the body, the soul becomes aware. And that's why it's critical, even though some would not want to do it or think it imprudent to consider hell, we should consider hell. Because if you actually consider hell, you would avoid sin at all costs. If you think about what hell is by how some of the saints have described it after the general judgment, when bodies and souls are in hell together, bodies and souls are stacked like bricks in a wall. And there's absolutely no room to move, no room to breathe, and you hate everyone that is pressed against you. And the demons are torturing all the while because of their superior nature, but remember, the demons are prisoners there too. So it's not like they have any authority, but they have the capacity to torture. And they hate humanity for being in the image and likeness of God. Every person in hell hates God. Every person in hell hates everyone else around them. Every person in hell is suffering because of the rejection of love and because God is just. And ideally, if you think about that reality, why would you betray? Why would you betray God, whom you were made for? Everything God has given us in His Holy Church, in particular divine revelation, sacred scripture, sacred tradition, the teachings of the church, these things give us everything we need to know to avoid hell. No soul has to go to hell unless it wants to. And the only way you go to hell is if you die in unrepentant mortal sin. Now you might like to think that wouldn't happen to you. But here's the great danger. Because the more you live in small ways, subject to your passions, the more you will succumb in larger things. The church has always taught that venial sins, if you don't repent of them, they pile up and they make you more vulnerable to mortal sin. And this can happen in particular in the reality of human relationships, and in particular that one great sacrament that our Lord has given to show the world how Christ loves His church, the sacrament of holy matrimony. What I call, besides the Blessed Sacrament, the most abused sacrament of Christ's. Because so many Catholics refuse to live it in accord with the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ for marriage? Total self-sacrifice. Total self-immolation. For the salvation of your spouse is the most important thing in your life. This is why St. Paul says that those of us who are priests, who are celibate, we can worry more about God and occupy our time with God, but the married man, the married woman, has to consider their spouse. So God is the goal of marriage, heaven is the goal, but self-sacrifice is the key. But too many people live marriage selfishly. Too many people run around like cables looking for a battery to hook up to and then use that other person for everything that they need and then cast them aside. This is the great danger, because in the sacrament of holy matrimony, from which all other vocations arise, if the couple is not living in accord with the mind and plan of God, then their children will come to misunderstand love as well. And if the parents, the married couple, are not living for Christ, seeking the salvation of their spouse, then when their children get older, they should not be surprised that their children abandon the faith, that they abandon God, because the parents never really communicated to them how important God was, because their marriage did not model the cross. Marriage is supposed to model the cross. So again, think of it. You're more concerned about your spouse's salvation than your own, because your own salvation is wrapped up in your spouse's. And this is why those who are automatically saying and rejecting, say, young men rejecting the priesthood outright, they'd better be very sincere about investigating God's truly calling to the sacrament of holy matrimony that too many Catholic couples have mocked for too long. Because the time is coming when persecution will be far more real. And that's when the graces of the sacrament of holy matrimony will flow most profoundly, and many will be converted by the strong Catholic marriages that are being lived in time of duress, because too many Catholics have squandered the sacrament when God gave them a time of rest. They've squandered it. And now too many people do not know what love is. Hence they believe there is no hell because they think God is needy, which he is not. And that's what I mean by the importance of this sacrament in particular, because all vocations flow from it. We who are priests, religious, and yes, the children who also want to follow the example and live in holy matrimony. The understanding of God and of the Holy Trinity comes from family and family life. And if the married couple, if the individuals are living only for themselves and not for the other, and expecting the other to always be there for them, but they are not doing anything for the other, indeed, they will demonstrate to their children what love is not. Here's something to consider. Every soul that is on the way to hell has a common practice. That soul is miserable, and therefore it always goes out of its way to make everyone around it miserable. That's a sure sign of an individual who's on the path to hell, because they go out of their way to make everyone miserable. And they're miserable. You know why? Because their souls are in sin, unrepentant, mortal sin. And as a result, because of the cutoff from God's grace, the lack of sanctifying grace, and the whole dynamic of blindedness and selfishness, all that is at work, and it makes that soul completely obsessed with itself. And it's trapped in a terrible, lonely prison. And as a result, because it is trapped, it lashes out at everyone around it. Because people that are that selfish, in the end, even though you think, by virtue of the definition of love, or pride rather, is self-love, in all reality, people that are that selfish absolutely hate themselves. Because God made us to love and be loved. And again, we learn from the first letter of John, this is how we know what love is, because God loved us first. And therefore, if you want to love, be loved, you must love first. You must offer yourself first, and then love is given to you in return. And again, I underscore this with regards to marriage because of the reality of how all the vocations stem from the sacrament of holy matrimony. And it is the predominant state that God has called most of the faithful to. It is the normal state. My state is unnatural. It is indeed supernatural. But your state is ordered to the reality of what man and woman are supposed to be and how they imitate the Holy Trinity, which is the perfect community of authentic love, not clingy, needy, desperate, selfish love that too many Catholic men and women settle for, but real, authentic, self-giving, self-offering, self-gift. In imitation of Christ on the cross, which is why every young person who thinks he's called to marriage had better realize that marriage is truly a participation in the suffering and death of the Lord. It is uniquely designed to make you get over yourself and to live in self-sacrifice, to live in imitation of the Christ. And so I say that because, again, if you are surrendering to your passions in the small things, the more you do that, the less resistance you'll be able to put up when your own flesh tempts you to mortal sin or when the enemy tempts you to mortal sin. And eventually, you will see the ruination of your soul because your soul no longer has dominion over the body. The body is over the soul, and now your soul is a slave to the body. When your soul is released in death, it sees its depth, it sees its profound nature, and it has nothing but regret when it happens that it's in mortal sin. And it longs, it absolutely longs for God for whom it was designed, but at the same time it absolutely hates God because God ratified its willful choice to embrace the fiery pits of hell. You may think, oh, that's going to be serious sins. Well, let me tell you this. People who don't go to Mass on Sunday are committing mortal sins. Each and every Sunday. Catholics that refuse to go to Mass on Sundays when they can are committing mortal sin. And if they get so accustomed to sleeping in and enjoying Sunday, in other words, their souls become slaves to their passions, they no longer think it's wrong. And you know what that means? That they will not repent of it ever in their lives. And you know what that means? That they will face the judgment seat of Christ in a state of mortal sin. Contrary to popular myth, God's love for us is pure and true, and He does not give us what we want just because we're entitled to it. To get into heaven, you have to have God's life in you, sanctifying grace. Mortal sin casts it out. And do remember also Our Lady of Fatima, who said souls are falling into hell like snowflakes, predominantly because of sins of the flesh. Sexual sins, whether it's in your mind or in action, impurity, a sure way to lose governance of yourself and let passions override. Instead, see what the sacrament of holy matrimony points towards and recognize that the more you love someone, it brings you out of yourself and makes you far less selfish. If you are incapable in a relationship of loving that way, you need to ask yourself if you're truly called to the sacrament of holy matrimony, because it is a heroic life to be married. And it calls for heroic virtue to die to yourself. And it is the best place where you learn to govern your passions, and then to help your children govern their passions by your own example, and then have vocations, either to the priesthood, religious life, or further for marriage, where all are living in that same mindset. No longer living for themselves, as St. Paul says, but for Christ. Indeed, examine your conscience in your own particular way and determine where you are headed. Are you really sure that you're going to heaven? Because if you are, you might have too much pride within you. Are you praying for the graces as the church and her colleagues designs? Then that's more humble. Never presume that you're entitled to heaven just because you exist. And never presume that you're going to heaven just because you exist. And also, if you love people who are outside, who are indeed on the path to hell, love them enough to try to save them instead of letting your passions rule you, especially if you're so afraid of them that you won't interfere. So much to consider when you put hell in the front of your face, not as a means of frightening ourselves, but as a means of intellectually, reasonably acknowledging what sin is and why we must avoid it and why we must govern our passions in this life and not squander the great gifts God is affording us by virtue of heaven. So be mindful of hell and you will avoid sin. Be mindful of hell and you will avoid selfishness. Be mindful of hell and you will embrace the heroic mission in whatever vocation you are in and which one you are aspiring to. And you will determine that you're going to live a life of heroic virtue by cooperating with God's grace and truly make a difference in the world to defeat the evil one's plans and to bring about the victory that Christ has already won as a realization for individuals who need to know that they no longer need to be slaves to sin and passion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe.